Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in a hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Welcome to this cool place this morning, as we all need some cool place to go to. We want to extend a very special welcome to each and every one of you, and especially to those that are visiting with us this morning. We hope that you will indeed feel welcome here at Main Street. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And if you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So if you would now, please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. We do have a lot going on in the life of the church. We've got a program scheduled every Thursday, or just about every Thursday, for the summer. The first, beginning this Thursday, June the 12th, will be a beach dance and party to kick off the summer in Vacation Bible School. You don't have to be associated with Vacation Bible School to attend. This is for the entire congregation. It will be held at the Cabana and Pool at Grand Harbor, beginning at 6 o'clock. Activities include swimming, beach volleyball, shagging, hot dog supper. The cost is $1 per person. So just show up for that Thursday at the Cabana at Grand Harbor. Also, in your newsletter this week, there was an article related to need for tornado damage in Allendale. There will be people going down June 12th, 13th, and 14th. They are in need of additional people to help. You can go down and help for just one day or for all 3 days, but if you are interested, please contact Caroline and let her know that. Also, summer movies are back. Kids will be meeting on Tuesdays beginning this week. The movie begins at 12:30. Meet Kathy in the lobby at the theater at 12 o'clock. Admission is free, and parents would then pick the children up at 2:15. Also, if you have an article for the newsletter this week, please get it in to Emmy no later than tomorrow. Emmy has a wedding coming up this weekend, so she will be out toward the end of the week. So if you have an article for the newsletter, please get it to her tomorrow. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come, let us return to God. Come, let us return to God. Come, let us return to God.
Please be seated. Join me in our invocation. Spirit of the heavens, fall on us as the spring rains that water the earth, bringing forth the bud on the tree of life. We seek your showers of blessing, that by your grace we may bear good fruit, the fruit of love and rejoicing, of peace and endurance, of gentleness and humility, of patience and faith. Amen. We do have a few visitors today I saw coming in, and so in order to tell them not to be afraid, when we pass the peace, we actually get up and move around just a little bit. So let us now pass the peace and share the love of Christ.
Okay. Bless him. Okay. That's peace.
I'd like to invite forward those who are going on the Belize mission trip for our sending forth. And I call your attention as a congregation to the insert, the sending forth insert in your bulletin. Could the missioners please come forward in front of the altar rail? Karen Dent will also be going on this trip on June 14 and is not here with us today, but she will be going as well as others from other churches. It turns that the area that they're going to, which some of you think Belize, that's a vacation spot. No, not where they're going. It never was. But on top of the situation that was at hand when they first signed up, they now have been very badly damaged and flooded by a storm, so they truly need help now. And we truly need to be doubly in prayer for our team, for the disaster that they're walking into, and for the ability to help that we hope they take with them. The supreme aim of missions is to make the Lord Jesus Christ known to all people in all lands as their divine Savior, to persuade them to become His disciples, and to gather these disciples into Christian churches, to enlist them in the building of the kingdom of God, to cooperate with these churches, to promote world Christian fellowship, and to bring to bear on all life the spirit and principles of Christ. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself." When asked, "Who is our neighbor?" Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan who had compassion and crossed cultural and religious boundaries to help someone who was obviously hurting and in need. Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." Members and friends of the Main Street United Methodist Church, the Great Commission is still in effect. The call is great upon each of us to answer in our own way. Before us today are volunteers in mission who wish to dedicate themselves to a task. As a congregation, let us commission and send them forth in the name of Christ and the church. Caroline, Karen in her absence, John, Lee, and Steve, we rejoice that you have resolved in your hearts to devote time, talents, and energy to this ministry in Belize. You will touch the lives of people you have never dreamed you would meet. They will also touch you as they share their faith. Through word and deed, you will testify to the infinite love of God. Such a task confers a great privilege. It also places upon you a solemn responsibility. What you have done alone with God in offering yourself for this mission, we now ask that you do publicly in the presence of this congregation. And so I ask you, do you sincerely believe that you have been led by the Spirit of God to engage in this ministry?
I do so believe.
Will you earnestly seek to carry forward this ministry in a Christ-like manner, in cooperation with your team members, and with respect to the local host?
I will, the Lord being my helper.
Okay. You are to kneel. Now, congregation, join me. Almighty God, whose love for the whole family of humankind has been made known to us through your Son, send thy blessing upon these, your servants, soon to go forth on this mission assignment. Grant that they be guided and strengthened for their task, that they be open to new truths and insights for their host, and that they be given good health and traveling mercies, to the end that your name be glorified in all the earth. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise. Thank you. We thank y'all for going. God be with you. Thank y'all for going.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. And our epistle reading comes from Romans, the 4th chapter, verses 13 through 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, "So numerous your descendants be." He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.
I do invite you forward during our prayer time so that you might be here and kneeling for the time of silent and personal prayer. It is more meaningful for many of us to be here at the altar rail during the prayer, and we encourage you to come forward now if you wish to take part in that way. As you are coming forward, I will list some of our prayer concerns. Camille Wolfe in the hospital, but improving. Kathy Kelly's sister Marty, ongoing treatments. Annalecta Stockman in the hospital, in need of our prayers. The principal payment in July, I hope that we pray about that. Albert Gambrell, Chuck Drake. Amy Botts, we found out that her mother passed away just this overnight, Amy Botts' mother, Miss Roberts. We've been asked also to pray for the family of Thelma Cook, a longtime volunteer at the hospital who passed away this morning. And for Lindsay McWatty Lawrence, who gave birth to a baby boy but had some complications and remains in the hospital. She has had some complications, not the baby. Be in prayer for her. And Kit Adkins, we were made known this morning. Kit Adkins' mother fell and broke a hip. She may be in the hospital right now. This is our understanding. With these and other thoughts in our minds and our hearts, let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we know you from your word as healer, as holy and righteous judge, as creator of a creation that rejected you and ran its own way. And we know you as savior for your fallen people, your confused and lonely people. Redeem what is good and godly within us, we pray. Heal our brokenness and our fear of death, and loosen the hold that worldly emptiness has upon our souls. Remind us who we are and who we were meant to be for you and for each other. We thank you, Lord, for the hope you've given us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for each day in the presence of your Holy Spirit to guide us into new life and to new joy. We thank you for the cleansing effect of your grace on our souls so that we can breathe deeply of hope again. Now guide our steps in these uncertain times. Guide our priorities when so much we have built upon is changing around us. Guide our relationships to new life. Where we have cemented stale anger into an uneasy truce, show us the way to real relationship and real love and real peace. We pray that you open the hearts of our worldly leaders to the influence of your Holy Spirit. When each day seems so troubled, we can ultimately trust only he who holds tomorrow. Guide those who hold down their people, who keep resources from their people, who build themselves up by tearing others down. Though the nations are many, the world is one, and the world is yours, Lord. Many are grieving. Comfort them. Some are seething and angry and don't even know why. Give them peace and clarity, Lord. Some of us are hurt because we have trusted and been betrayed. Give us courage to trust again. And all of us need a double dose of your Spirit to be enabled to love and lift up and embrace as Christ has done for us. And Lord, we pray now the prayers of our hearts. We lift them before you in silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the mission of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen. Please be seated. I invite the children forward now for the children's message with Alice Ballantyne. And as they're coming forward, I want to add one more concern to your prayer list for the week to come. Wesley Runyon, who we have helped sponsor on his choral trip to Italy, will be leaving tomorrow, is here today. Where is Wesley? Right there you are. I don't have my glasses on. He'll be leaving to Italy, and we'll be praying traveling mercies for him, and behave while you're gone.
Good morning.
Now,
good morning. All right, look at everyone this morning. Well, I just feel joyous this morning. Do you know why? Because we have God. Just trying to make you pay attention. He makes me feel like doing great things. Does he make you feel like doing good things like sharing your toys? That's a good thing. Being a good friend. Maybe playing with somebody who's off to themselves. You know, just doing good things, helping around the house. Now, do you think doing good things is all that Jesus wants us to do? Is that what's going to get us to heaven with him someday? Good things are great to do. But you know what? He really wants one very important thing from us, and that's just to believe in him. And when we believe in him, that makes us want to do good things. Do you think? And how simple is that? Just believing what a wonderful God we have and that he can do anything, anything at all. He can heal anybody. He can make those boo-boos all better. What a wonderful thing. And I cannot think of a better way to learn more about Jesus than to come to maybe Vacation Bible School. Isn't that a great way to learn about Jesus? So that we can believe in him that much more. And you know what? A week from tomorrow, there's going to be the most fabulous beach party all week. We're going to celebrate Jesus all week at Vacation Bible School. And we're going to kick it off this Thursday with a beach party at Grand Harbor. Now, you make sure you ask your mamas and daddies to sign you up. Today is a very important day to sign up for these things. Oh, I'm so excited about learning about Jesus in such a fun way. Are you guys excited? Oh, it's going to be so much fun. Well, let's say a prayer and thank God for the opportunity that we have Vacation Bible School so that we can believe in him. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for your gifts, like Vacation Bible School, so that we can learn more about you. Help us to believe in you. Amen. Let's go to the beach.
Thank you.
gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." And verse 18, while he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, my title today, "Does God Have Your Attention?" It is also a question that only you can answer. And I started thinking all of the different ways I've heard folks try to get other people's attention, especially if it's sort of a military or a martial sort of way. And I was wondering if we had any career army men here, any veterans who could stand up and give me a real loud attention and show me what that's supposed to be like. Anybody want to do that? Come on. They did it at 9 o'clock. All right. Thank you. Okay. Hard to get people's attention. You got to do it in a loud and a forceful way. And I understand that in German it's Achtung. That would get my, I might want to say Gesundheit after that. But when I was a martial arts instructor in Korean, they taught me to say Chulyup, which I think means attention in Korean. That's what they told me it meant, but they may have been just laughing up their sleeve at me. I don't know. But anyway, it's hard to get people's attention. You got to go out of your way to do it. Sometimes you have to scream at folks. This is an oldie but a goldie I'm going to share with you. A professor once caught a student daydreaming through a vocabulary lesson, and he said, "Mr. Jones, what is the difference between ignorance and apathy?" And the student looked up and said, "I don't know, and I don't care." And he said, "Very good. I didn't think you were paying attention." But maybe he wasn't, and he was proud of it. Are you paying attention, is my question this morning. And to whom? What do you consider good? What do you consider right and righteous? And what do you think God would have you do right now in your life at the many junctures and choices that are facing you? What is God calling you to do right now? Is God in any way helping you guide your decisions? Are you paying attention, listening, perceiving, praying? Our world has taught for the most part that life belongs to me, that my resources belong to me, and that following my heart is what I should do, and following my whims is what I should do, following my hobbies, my habits, and my wandering desires. The world teaches that's all life is, and then you die. That's what the world is teaching you and me through TVs and commercials and through popular culture, and also it is teaching your children and your grandchildren every single day. But still, God's voice has not gone quiet. Still, amid all the noise, God's still small voice is calling out, offering direction, offering courage, sometimes U-turns and restarts and new beginnings, contrary to the self-absorbed, hyper-self-esteemed, self-directed lives. God offers an alternative direction, a life that looks a whole lot more like the life we saw in Jesus Christ. Now, self-esteem, when it is earned by discipline and accomplishment, can be a very good thing, but anything that starts with the word self is a little suspect when it goes too far. Self-anything is always one person being mirrored back at themselves. It's one-on-one, without a lot of room for God, without a lot of room for anyone else. Think about Moses for a minute. It was not Moses' effort one-on-one with his internal development of his spiritual intelligence or his study of Scripture. It wasn't anything about Moses' introspective prayer that helped him discover God's presence in the burning bush. It was God simply showing up in a way that was impossible for Moses to ignore. And Abraham and Sarah, we heard about them earlier in the epistle reading. God promising in his old age a child and generations through that child. And God promising Sarah also that child would be born of her. And you know what she did? She laughed. But God certainly got their attention. How many of you in your 90s, ladies in your 90s, if God told you you're going to have a child, would that get your attention? No hands raised, but I can hear it. You also laughed. So contrary to pop wisdom, I think that knowing God is not really all that dependent on having complete knowledge of self. It is indeed dependent instead upon paying attention and noticing when God, through large ways and small ways, is speaking you into new territory, new direction. And I think we can perceive that. And I think we go out of our way not to very often. God's voice so often leads us into new places where we never wanted to go and never would have given a second thought if it were up to us and couldn't have imagined if we tried. This odd scripture from Matthew, Jesus has everyone's attention. He has their attention. Everyone is listening to and following Jesus, and they're trusting that he can heal, and they're crawling after him, bleeding, begging help for a daughter who has died. This is odd stuff. But they believe, and they are reacting with the direction of their lives, following after Jesus. Now, we pay attention to some things without anybody telling us to. I know that some things we pay attention to because we value those things and we want to without anybody saying you ought to. If you see a sale on TV on something you really are looking for and it's a good price, That's going to have you glued to the TV or glued to the magazine or the radio ad or wherever you see it. If it's something you already want and it's going to be cheaper to get, you're going to stop and look and give your undivided attention. But if you see an advertisement for, let's say, a special prayer service or a revival, that's likely a no sale. Not something we really value or want or perhaps think we need. In the gospel, Jesus stopped what he was doing and he detoured from where he was going to meet the needs of different people in trouble. And he paid attention to them. I was appalled, and I'm sure you were too, last week in Hartford, Connecticut, to see the man, the 78-year-old man who was struck by a car. The car didn't stop. The people on the side of the road who saw it didn't stop. No one walked into the middle of the road to check on him. No one touched him. The police finally came. No one helped. Some just looked. Some walked off. The police chief there, his last name Roberts in Hartford, he said, "We no longer have a moral compass." Imagine a man getting hit in the middle of the road, laying there bleeding, no longer really gets people's attention. But I am certain that someone there at some point had heard Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan, and they must have heard God's Spirit whispering in their heart saying, "Now go and do likewise. A man is bleeding in the ditch, a stranger, comfort him, call for help, do something." I'm sure they heard it, but apparently they just turned up the noise in their heads. They gave themselves rationalizations why they didn't want to get involved, and they ignored God's still small voice. It reminds me of the famous saying G.K. Chesterton said many years ago. He was asked, "What is wrong with the world?" And his reply was, his two-word reply was, "I am." We know. I believe that we know there are times when God is trying to get a message through. And it's not always clear and not verbal and not texted out on your phone, but a message. Just like I know that my brand new noise in my 9-year-old car, my Dodge Intrepid, is trying to tell me something. But what do I usually do when my car develops a new noise? I turn up the radio. It's got a good radio. That still works. And the check engine light has been on for the past 4 years. When it first came on, I was somewhat concerned, but now I keep driving it and the light stays on. So I guess I could just drive it forever like that. But you know, one day that thing's going to stop to never start again. And we may find out in the mechanics postmortem that you could have changed this little $6 doohickey and it would have been all better if you just paid attention. But I didn't. I believe that God is trying to tell us things all through our lives, but we sort of turn up the noise and we cram our schedules with busyness and we grant God only a nodding prayer. And the prayer is something like this: "God, I'll be with you as soon as we fight these dragons and build this castle and rescue the damsel and save up enough treasure, and then you're on my list. I'll get back to you." God's still small voice is persistent. But it can be drowned out by all the noise. Do you remember Elijah who tried to run away from God? The prophet of old, he complained in a sort of self-centered way, "They're trying to kill me, Lord. That's why I'm hiding in this safe mountain cave." And God said, "Get out of your cave and come watch the mountain a minute." This is in 1 Kings, if you haven't read it in a while. And you may remember that he stood outside of his safe mountain cave where he was hiding. And then God stirred up a wild wind that just ripped rocks off the mountain. And then, after that, a huge earthquake to tumble down around Elijah's hidden fortress. And after the earthquake, a consuming fire. And after all of that, then God spoke to hiding Elijah in a still, small voice. Now, what is the message for us? I think it's this: God is still speaking to us. God does want a dialogue, a conversation, to sometimes give comfort, to sometimes give direction, to often give us courage. But if we insist on hiding, if we insist on staying in the cave and pretending that we cannot risk hearing God, God just might come into our caves, and if we have the noise turned up, God just might make a bigger noise until he has your attention. And if we are satisfied that we have surrounded ourselves with a safe mountain fortress, God may shake the foundations of that fortress to remind us that we are never safe from the voice of God. God will get your attention. Billy Graham tells the story of his son, Franklin. You may know that Franklin Graham is the director of the Samaritan's Purse Ministry, and he was even back during the first Gulf War and had this encounter with a woman from Kuwait. He was there in the burning desert and noticed this woman in a bus, very distressed, with small children around her and holding a 3-day-old infant who was dirty and needed some attention, being evacuated from Kuwait. And Franklin saw the newborn and offered the mother supplies and a means to get a bath and some medical treatment. The mother thanked him. And as they continued their conversation, she revealed that she had once been a Christian, but affluence had come between her and God. She had drifted away from God. But she said that this encounter with him and with his ministry had rekindled the dormant flame of faith within her. And as he shared with her God's willingness to forgive her drifting away, she found new fellowship and new joy with God in Christ. And the last thing she said to Franklin was very odd, or maybe not. She said, I just want to thank God for allowing my family to lose everything. To lose everything in Kuwait so I could find him again. Churches can get distracted too, not just people. In fact, sometimes I think that our planning and selecting and evaluating is just another form of disciples locking the doors and windows to keep God out. We plan the service, we proofread the bulletin, we make sure everything is tied down and planned so we can keep it all fixed and predictable and under control and out by 12 o'clock. And this can be death. This can be a kind of death. But sometimes, by the grace of the living God, the Spirit slips through our closed doors, our plodding through the bulletins and our respectable reverence, and there is worship in spite of us. Worship not of our own creation, but just worship from God as a gift. And on those times we wonder, how did that happen? How did God get through our best laid plans for predictability? Years ago, Bob Wilson and Will Willimon proposed a book called The Successful Church, and it was never published. But it was going to profile churches who, to the outside observer, look successful and prosperous and thriving with their attractive and well-maintained buildings, their numerous programs and activities, but at the heart, they were cold and dead. The book was never published. They keep everybody busy. They keep going to meetings and ceramic classes and yoga and 12-step programs, and maybe no one will ever notice that we have scheduled God out of our ministry. You can be successful on so many levels. Even churches can be successful and have so much noise and busyness in your life that you're no longer listening for God. People can and do hide from the living God, even in churches, but God keeps on talking. The disconnect from what we say and believe and hear and what we do or don't do the rest of the week can get us down. It can give us a kind of what I call a spiritual blues. And getting the blues also can be a gift from God. Because the blues is sort of a spiritual hunger, I think. It's telling you, God is telling you, this is not what I have in mind for your life. That blues, the emptiness, why ain't I happy? God is saying, this is not what I had in mind for your life. When you start playing this over here and that over there, you can't be happy pretending. I mean, you really cannot be happy. I hear God saying, I won't allow it. God already has a prescription for true happiness, and it does not involve faking faith for a few hours a week. When we try that, God just might give us this holy blues, this emptiness inside, until we see the hypocrisy of living in two worlds and claiming to serve both just won't work. I hope some of you do listen to the blues. I love the blues. I love the kind of lines that they throw in there. It's almost like country music. B.B. King has one I love to death. I didn't have this in my notes, and my wife is cringing because when I say something that's not in my notes, she never knows where it might come from. He sings a song. He says, nobody loves me but my mama. Plays a little guitar. And then he says, and she might be jiving too. Now that's the blues. But I think the blues that I'm talking about is a little different. I listen to the blues, and sometimes it can give you some insight. There is an artist known as Kevin. His name is Kevin Moore, but he goes by Keb Mo. I guess if you're an artist, you've got to have a really funny name. It's Kevin Moore, but he goes by Keb Mo. Like Glenn Williams is a guitar player. It might be Glee Wim or something. I don't know. And he wrote these words. It says, well, you might be saved, you might be reborn, you might own a car with a big loud horn. Maybe it's just news on your television, or it might be God trying to get your attention. It might be. And I'm going to cut this short just a little bit about getting attention, because I do know, as I've even criticized us being out by 12 o'clock as some sort of a rule that we might not need to have, I know it is still a rule, and I'll try to stay to it. Getting our attention. After World War II, one of the big telegram companies was hiring wireless operators. And this is a true story some of you may have heard before. Everybody came in for that day. Everybody wanted jobs, and not that many people knew Morse code, but the ones who did thought they should be paid well, and they showed up. All the applicants were in a little room, and soon as they were talking back and forth, Morse code, dots and dashes, started coming across the intercom speaker. Suddenly, one of the men in the room there just stood up, walked right into the employer's office, and he hadn't interviewed anybody yet, went straight on in there, and he came out smiling a few minutes later, and he said, I got the job, y'all can go home. Well, everybody was mad. They said, how did you get ahead of us? He said, well, you might have gotten it if you hadn't been so busy talking to each other. The manager was sending code over the intercom, and the code said, the person I need must always be on the alert. The first one who interprets this and comes directly into my private office will be hired. And he was. Now, sometimes God does work, and I guess we could call it coded messages. I don't know Morse code, so if you ever hear one like that, if I ever hear one, I'll have to get help. But I am sure that most of the time God works in very subtle, everyday ways. Not in the earthquake, and not in the hurricane, not in the consuming fire, but instead in the still, small voice that we tend with all the busyness in our lives and in our heads just to drown out. I think we need to listen, to give God our attention, to have times of prayer that are silent, really silent. No music, no nothing in the background. We need to be alert. We need to be attuned to what God might be telling us to do, to go, to decide next. Again, Kevin Moore said in one of his songs, he said, well, it might be in the church house, or it might be on the street. Somehow or another, every soul has got to meet. Might look like a plan or a coalition, or it might be God trying to get your attention. Does God have your attention? It's a question only you can answer. I believe God still speaks. I believe God still directs. I believe most of the time we try not to hear. God forgive us. God give us ears to hear. Amen.
Jesus is high, oh what a voice!
Now receive this blessing, the blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ, your Savior and Lord, and the compassion and the courage and the power and the direction which is yours through the Holy Spirit is present even in this moment for us to hear, for us to follow. You have been blessed in so many ways. Be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.